Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts.
You don't want to see it?
What?
A picture of the rabbit.
No, I don't.
Oh, all right.
I'm good. I just ate breakfast.
It's Brian Mazurowski and Joe Beamer on WBEN 803-0930 to reach us here on WBEN.
I did go into the bathroom, though. And
I told you to.
Yeah.
I told Joe that he has to go. Now, when you go to the bathroom here, you go like to a different county.
Yeah, I go across the... I like to get my steps in.
So I go to a different building to go to the bathroom.
To be fair, there's a bridge that connects the buildings. I'm not stepping outside.
Yeah, but still.
Yeah, I got very comfortable with that bathroom over there during the blizzard. And so I keep that's my bathroom because no one else uses it.
I told Joe he has to go to the bathroom here to see it. It's amazing. The past couple of days. Now, look, not to gross everyone out, but you know, you walk into a public bathroom, and sometimes it's a stinky bathroom, but it's always explainable, right?
Yeah.
Like it's a stinky bath. Like, oh, somebody just went here. You know?
Yeah.
Wow. You know what the smell is, though.
Mm-hmm.
Like, 10 times out of 10, you walk into a bathroom, it stinks, but you know what the smell is.
You can go report exactly what you smelled.
The bathroom here, yesterday and today, smells inexplicably. Mm-hmm. Like the zoo. And when I say like the zoo, I don't mean it in like the sense that, you know, my wife says, oh, it's a house, it's like a zoo in here. I don't mean it like, you know, smells like the zoo, like, it just smells like somebody went in the bathroom and it smells bad. And, oh, it's like the zoo. Ha, ha, ha. No, I mean, literally, it smells like the Buffalo Zoo. Like, you know the scent when you walk into the reptile building?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that's what it smells like. And I don't know
it's an interesting
any lizard
smell.
People who shed their skin in the fire stall or anything, but like, why would it smell like that?
Yeah, we don't share a building with any kind of animal exhibit.
It doesn't smell like any sewage issue I've smelled before.
It's a very interesting smell. Like, you're pinning it right on.
But I was right on in saying the zoo.
Yeah, the zoo.
I made you go in to check it out.
I do. You know, it's so funny. We can capture so many things. Don't you wish you could capture smells? Like, you won't believe what I smelled, and you could text it to someone.
You know, I say that's a horrible idea, but if that were an actual thing, that's all I would text anybody.
Right. And they don't know that you sent them a scent
until they open
the text.
Like, what's this? Ah. Come on. Now, there would be a feature that's worth $1,000 for a new iPhone.
Yeah, I wouldn't. Yeah, and I wouldn't turn that feature off.
Right? Come on. But that's, I told you, it smells like the zoo.
It's a very interesting smell because, I mean, like you said, there's been people going number two. There was, as you put, I'll take your words, a very dehydrated person who didn't flush the toilet. You know what that smells like. There's someone that rubs, you know, muscle cream on their body. All those smells are explainable. This one, the zoo, is probably the closest, and I'm not sure I would have come up, but when I went in there with the mindset zoo, that's exactly what I smelled.
You closed your eyes, and you could hear the zebra hoofs.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's how much it smells like the zoo in
there. That's my son's favorite exhibit.
The zebras?
He loves the zebras.
I'm trying to... My son likes the spiders and the problem with the zoo is a lot of it, it's like you're seeing it kind of far away.
Right.
You know, for obvious reasons. You know, so the things you can get up close to, like it's amazing that the lion's there, but usually it's like, you know, or the tigers, you're looking far out trying to.
Back.
So it's the things up close, like the spiders, kind of like the snakes, you know, you get right up next to the glass and you can see it. That's what he kind of likes in there.
That's too close for me with those animals.
Spiders and... Yeah, they creep me out.
Yeah.
He loves them, but it creeps me out.
I'll go there for the turtles. I'll walk in the reptile for the turtles. But yeah, my son loves the zebras. the zebras here in Buffalo when we saw the zebras in Naples last year. He's got a zebra book that I got him at the library when they were selling other books. So
big zebra guy.
Big zebra guy. I feel like, you know, in the next year or so, he'll graduate to other animals. But now the zebras are his thing.
I don't.
Well, he might. I do think there's an age, like you said, your son likes the... I mean, there's an age where you like reptiles.
There is?
Yeah, I mean, when I was like five or something, I loved reptiles. They would bring them into school.
Really? Well, yeah. I think that's just because you bring... No one ever brought a zebra into school.
Right. I remember a kid had a pet turtle he brought into school, a lizard, a gecko.
I don't... My kids don't... They don't really have like a favorite animal.
No.
That they would go to. I mean, you know, they like reptiles and stuff. You know, things, but they would like anything that you could touch, like that somebody would bring, right. You know, for a show and tell.
Zebra and waterfall. Type of thing. Waterfall? When we're at the zoo.
Yeah. Mine, I'd say my youngest is zombies. Does that count as an animal?
They have those anywhere? At the zoo?
No. That's, if he's pretending to be something, it's a zombie.
I do have to say for the zoo.
Not an animal.
The rainforest exhibit is the coolest. Like, it's so cool. The things that are, you know, the monkeys are up there. You got the anteater. Mm-hmm. You've got the geckos that are just, you know, going through the rocks. You could have one crawl on you if you're not careful.
Yeah.
It's a cool exhibit. Bravo.
There you go. That's it. You don't want to see the rabbit.
I don't want to see the rabbit.
My dogs learned their lesson, though, from the last time they killed a rabbit, and my one dog ate the entire thing. This time, did not eat it.
So now it's just a sport.
I think he wanted to eat it. I mean, when I let him back outside after I, you know, got rid of it.
He was looking for it?
Yeah, you know, sniffing around looking for it. Like, they want it. I think he learned from the last time that just...
Not worth it.
Yeah, and not worth it for me either. Thank you. So that's good. Somebody said always like the tropical indoor exhibit that had the monkeys and the birds and all that stuff.
Yep,
right.
That's a fun one. My son could probably just go there and he could just loop it for an hour and probably be happy.
Yeah, yesterday, Joe, I know you were locked into the basketball.
Yeah,
I didn't watch a second of the basketball, but the basketball. Got me ticked off because the basketball was on. The soccer game I wanted to watch was not on TNT. It was on streaming only. So I had to watch the soccer game on Univision.
Oh.
Because.
What was it streaming on?
Paramount Plus, which you don't have anymore, which means I don't have it anymore.
Actually, I do have it. It's through my Amazon, though.
Oh,
you should have texted me. I'm sorry. It's through my Amazon.
No, I don't. I didn't. I watched it in Spanish.
Well, guess what? I will text you the new information.
Okay, I watched it in Spanish. Didn't understand a lick of what they were saying. They talked really fast.
I didn't realize.
And seemed a bit too excited for the pace of play.
I didn't realize that was a TNT event.
These games would have been on TNT on Paramount Plus, though. Because
that's interesting too, because TNT is Max.
Or wait, would it Paramount?
Because TNT is a Warner, is Time Warner. That would be HBO Max. That's what all the basketball games are on.
Yeah, Turner Sports though is TNT, right?
TNT, I don't know. TBS, true. CBS is opposite. They only get together for the madness.
Well, it wasn't on any of them.
Yeah. Well. I'll tell you this, the madness got me upset. You know, I'm in here, I'm excited. Three brackets, right? Mm-hmm. Now, three brackets, different champions, but a lot of them had a lot of the same winners in the first round. Brian, I went the entire 250 block without a win. Auburn got their win, obviously. I had Clemson, McNeese State won. I had VCU, BYU won. I had Georgia, Gonzaga won. I went a whole block. That tells you how good my brackets are.
So not good.
Not good. No. The squares are going to have to save me.
You can make up for it.
Can make up for it. I still have my sweet 16 in, but it was a blow.
You can make up for it pretty good. But yeah, I had to watch it. The indignity of watching it, you know, the game being played in a stadium full of like 30 people, it looked like.
They won?
On a short field. No. Lost the game in front of like 20 people. At 4 o'clock local time in LA.
USA lost?
Yeah.
Oh.
Second year in a row, we lost a competitive game to Panama. And you are shocked. Why are you shocked?
I just thought the way you were talking yesterday, it was a given that they're going to play Mexico or Canada.
I said if they win, they would play Mexico or Canada.
So does that mean Panama keeps the canal now?
No, I don't know what it means. Well, we will play Canada in the third place game.
Oh, they do a third place game.
Yeah, okay. It's going to be brutal. I mean, I think 20 people showed up to watch this thing. And then it's not even on, English-speaking TV. That's a bad look. You hire a guy for $6 million to coach a team. You can't beat Panama. You got the World Cup here in a year.
And that's at SoFi?
Yeah, that's not our choice. That's the Confederation's choice. Oh. Dumb decision to put these games in a big... To start it at 4 o'clock local time, put in a football stadium.
Yeah.
I didn't see what the Mexico game was like. I'm sure it was, full of people. Maybe not completely sold out, but... Ugh.
Probably a test run for the World Cup, though.
Just a run. Not even really, because they're, it's not going to be the same configuration. They're going to have to expand the field to make it an actual, World Cup regulation field there. Wow. I mean, I guess, hopefully they have more people there for the World Cup. Well, although, hey. I don't know what the ticket price is there. Might be a little bit different. Speaking of ticket prices, Joe, all about saving the government money. That's like the theme of the year.
Yep.
Right? Government efficiency. Which I don't know if the two are totally aligned. I got to expand on this a little bit later on. Cutting money and efficiency, it sounds like it goes hand in hand. Might not exactly align.
No, you want to be able to be efficient as cheap as possible. That's what you want.
Yeah, maybe. But you want it to be able to be efficient.
But sometimes you can overcut.
You want it to work.
You can overcut and not be efficient.
Well, yeah. Or you can be more efficient by adding.
Yes.
In many cases. I'm working on compiling those thoughts for maybe next week at some point. But here's an idea of how to get the government running again. Now, there was a report in the CBC and then a conflicting report from The Logic, which is a Canadian business news site.
Okay.
It's like a Canadian Fortune.
So it's as reputable as the CBC?
It's a reputable site.
Okay.
Based in Canada. But the original report from the CBC was this. This was the title. Toronto wants to spend $10.7 million on World Cup ticket packages and resell them for a profit. Some councilors say the plan amounts to scalping. Others call it a big moneymaker. Now, the conflicting report, which is important before we go to this, out of The Logic, says no, Toronto isn't spending $10.7 million to scalp World Cup tickets. They're one of several host cities considering selling hospitality packages in an attempt to recoup costs through their deal with FIFA that most cities would end up doing. They purchase these hospitality packages and then sell them to big business or whoever would buy them from it. It's part of the deal to bring the World Cup here.
Yeah.
So it's not exactly, I'm going to buy a bunch of tickets and then sell them. But.
I'm going to buy a bunch of tickets and package them.
No, it's not. I mean, these packages are made for the host city committee to buy.
Okay.
To resell.
So it's not tickets that you and I could buy.
No, it's all part of the deal.
Okay.
So the original headline of the CBC was pretty misleading, and apparently all the people in the council in Toronto don't really have a full understanding of what it is.
Right.
But I think it brings up a great idea.
Okay.
Should the government be scalping tickets? I feel like it's a good idea.
I mean, it's a great moneymaker when you have, let's take Buffalo, for example. You have an NFL team that's still way cheaper than what people are willing to pay. Hey, you could make a couple thousand.
If I'm the city of Buffalo, if I'm Orchard Park, if I'm New York State or whatever, I mean, gone is this now. I mean, the state, all the county, they all get a luxury box in, the
right.
State, and they all get their allotment or whatever.
I believe there's a scandal around that.
But is it not a bad idea? Like, I saw this and I thought, what a great idea. I mean, you have something that's going to be in demand. Now, this would be a little bit different if we're talking the Bills or something. Like the World Cup, big event.
Right.
People are going to spend a lot of money on it, and you're going to attract people. A little bit different when you're talking about, buying a season ticket or something like that for the Bills that you have to keep for so many years and yada, yada,
right.
Yada.
Yeah.
But isn't that a great idea to buy tickets that are underpriced at the box office? and then resell them and then take the money back, and the whole event, like whatever you're paying in police overtime or something like that, pays for itself?
Yeah, as long as, again, use the Bills. As long as it's, you know, it's something that you could sell back.
A Bills playoff game.
Right. Knowing the city of Buffalo, they buy like a section at the arena and go, hey, we're going to make our money.
Well, if the Bandits are playing.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
But no, it's a Bills playoff game. If the county was like, tickets go on sale. Let's get a bot in. You know, oh, we can't have those anymore. Right. But let's go in. Let's buy up a whole block of tickets that are, you know, $100 or whatever they are, and then try and resell them. They've actually gotten pretty good at the tickets that actually go on sale for these playoff games are pretty close to fair market value, unlike the season ticket price or whatever. But you went in, you go in, you buy a bunch, and then you resell them on the open market, and then you just paid for some of the sheriff's department overtime for running security for the game.
There you go. I mean, what's wrong with finding a way to bring money in instead of tax, adding more tax like the city of Buffalo wants to do?
Worst case scenario, you end up holding on to the tickets, and then you give them out for free, and everyone goes on the county's dime, and it's the worst scandal you've ever had in government, and you're all voted out.
That could be the... That happens. It will be probably the second biggest scandal involving the stadium.
Scandal of the decade.
Yeah.
Right, if that happens. Come on, is no one thinking it's worth the risk?
I mean, I'm not sure it's worth the risk.
We're looking for bold ideas here.
I wouldn't be against if something like this came to Buffalo, but you said this is included in the package, so just trying to make some money back that the event's going to cost you.
Somebody texting in, would you be on board if Hochul wanted to sell the luxury boxes? You know, we've heard about this state, the box that they have, and they use it to wine and dine people who are supposedly going to do business in the state. The funny thing, and the Buffalo News has reported on this, is that if a lawmaker goes there or gets a ticket, they have to repay the value of that ticket in a donation or something like that. And then they showed the value that they paid. And it's like $100 for a playoff game in a luxury box or something like that. Like, I think the tickets may be worth a little bit more than that. But the person texts in, would you be on board if they wanted to sell the luxury box? Yeah. Actually, that turns something that people look at and go, this doesn't seem right, into a win.
Right.
You turn that around. No, you're not going to make a big profit.
But you'll make something.
But you make a little bit of money back. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, we're going to buy this and then sell it to whoever wants to pay a market rate.
If the county sold their luxury box for the next 30 years in the new stadium, they'd come close to getting their investment back of $250 million.
I don't think that's fully up there, right? How much is... So what's a PSL per seat...
In a luxury box?
That was like around 50,000. Right. So how many seats are there in those boxes?
The county doesn't get a free personal seat license for putting the 250 in?
No, I'm saying, like, what's the value of it?
The personal seat license, 25,000, right?
No, the PSL, 50,000 per seat. But how many seats are in one of those boxes?
That's a good question.
I'm not 100% sure. But, you know, you can multiply that, let's say, four. You know, let's say it's a small, one of these smaller areas. There's $100,000 there, and then the tickets for the game. You're probably talking $250,000.
Yeah, that's what they put in. Or they put $250 million in.
Yeah,
but yeah,
little different, Joe. You got to add some zeros there.
Yeah, it would pay one person's salary. But no, the whole discussion of things, I'm all for finding ways to bring more money in. You know, I see what Cheektowaga's trying to do and Buffalo's trying to do by charging people more to be.
What if everything you learn in history class was only half the story? I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets mysterious. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, paranormal phenomena, and events that science still can't fully explain. On Hidden History, I treat these moments like open case files. Not myths, not superstition, just incomplete explanations waiting for a closer look. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Here, I don't think that's the right avenue. I'm all for finding avenues to bring money in other ways.
Does that include a hotel tax? That and more. BMaz and Beamer will be back here on WBEN.
Welcome back. It is BMaz and Beamer, as the big voice guy said, on this Friday, return of the Mac. Oh, always gets me ready for the weekend. And a cool weekend it's going to be. Before we get to taxing our visitors, you know, I spent 2 days ago, I was in my car, windows down, playing Ocean Avenue by Yellow Card. And that's usually the kickoff to warm weather. So it's just so unfortunate that it's 30 degrees because it kind of voids my Ocean Avenue.
But you had that. You had it for a day.
Had it for a day.
It was nice. It's a nice teaser. We actually had a couple days, windows down. You could roll around in the car.
I don't want to tease. Like, it looks beautiful outside right now, but I know it's good. There's a chill.
Yeah. No, it looks great outside. We were talking about that the other week. How much has it changed for you so that, like, opening... What am I looking for here? The windows. First thing you do, you know, first nice day, yeah. Windows down.
Detroit Rock City.
Yeah, Detroit Rock City, you said. Yep. So now you said, all right, Yellow Card. Is your...
Well, that was later in the day. I got in the car. I put the album version of Detroit Rock City, Kiss.
I had mine. Like, what's the one thing that comes to my mind? It's like, all right, Raw Power, Iggy and the Stooges. But when it came down to it, I didn't play it at all. I'm addicted to, I have on the phone, the live music streaming that you can do. So it's all the shows, like, the next morning.
Oh, that's
high quality.
Yeah.
You know, the show from last night, I was playing Sturgill Simpson from March 10th in Oslo, Norway, like ripping up, and that windows down, like that was awesome.
Similar to the show you saw?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's going to be, but a little, this has added some new wrinkles in here for overseas.
So I played Kiss. I have to be honest, I didn't even play Ocean Avenue. It was on a station I was listening to later in the day while I was working, and I was like, this should have been one of the answers on the air. It's exactly what I went to. But I'm still happy with my Detroit Rock City selection. And I actually karaoke'd it last summer, so it has become one of my favorite summer songs.
I've got to hear this. Where?
In Cape Coral, Florida.
Are you the type of person that will only do karaoke if you're in another area code?
The older I get, yes. I used to do karaoke literally down the street from the studio at Ying's every Tuesday night when I was in college. We would come up from Madai, and it was 150 Yingling night, and we would do karaoke. Faded, but Backstreet Boys.
Not anymore.
Well, that's not there anymore.
Oh, yeah.
I find myself only at places that do karaoke when I'm not in Buffalo. You know, Wannabes in Nashville. I forgot the name of the bar in Cape Coral. I don't find myself at bars doing karaoke in Buffalo much anymore.
Yeah, it's true. It actually used to happen kind of like, I think before the COVID shutdown, and they still do it at places. But like the live band karaoke?
Yes.
You were seeing that a lot.
Yeah, there was a place on Elmwood that used to do live karaoke.
And there's still places that do it, but yeah. I feel like I would go into places and, you know, having no idea what was going on, there'd be a live band karaoke right there.
Yeah. But by the way, you ask, if I walked into a bar unknowingly and there was the table with the cards and the DJ, yeah, I'd sign up.
You're going up?
Oh my! Especially if I'm with my wife, because she'll be so embarrassed.
Yeah, I do it every time too. Yeah. I'm a sucker.
And I will. And I have my one go-to, and then if I can get a second chance, but it always starts off with Larger Than Life, Backstreet Boys.
How do you? Oh.
Just start with Larger Than Life, Backstreet Boys, and then as I did last time.
I actually wouldn't sing because I'd leave when you were on the set.
Then you move to Detroit Rock City. Then maybe some Huey Lewis. Some Def
so
Leppard.
Now you're doing...
I have a playlist.
All right, now you're
doing... I'm
doing
a performance.
Yeah, that's the part. I think karaoke, you're one and done.
No.
Yeah.
Look, especially, because if I've been having a few adult beverages, and like, the guy's begging for people to come up, you ever been to this, where the guy holding the karaoke, now he's up there doing karaoke?
Yeah.
Yeah. I get awkward, I get uncomfortable.
Okay, that might do. I feel like it's karaoke etiquette. You're on that list one and done.
Well, yeah, but if I start seeing another person, like if I see the bachelorette party going up for the 10th time, you know what? Joe Beamer's going to get a second song.
Two wrongs don't make a right, Joe.
I don't think it's... Hey,
If it's empty there and there's no one, you know.
But if I'm going to sing Backstreet Boys, I do have to go back on stage and say, hey, you know, I know Kiss too.
That's you. I think you get one. One shot.
I mean, one time I did, Welcome to the Black Parade. I won't be doing that one again.
Jeez.
Yeah. I hit my emo mode right there.
We were. I missed out. Missed out. We should have.
I did that song like when I turned 30 and I'm trying to hit notes, you know, the emo notes when I never had a voice to begin with. So that was.
You trying to hit the high notes?
That was uncomfortable, I think, for everybody. And I didn't realize it was going to be the full song. I thought they were going to start at the music.
No, you can never assume that.
So I didn't know that I was going to have to do the when I was a young. I didn't know I was going to have to do that part. I thought we were going to start the music.
You always assume you have to do it all. And that includes if there's a 7 minute long instrumental in the middle, you were standing up stage for 7 minutes. Doing nothing.
Yeah.
Hands in your pockets.
Lessons learned.
Yeah.
Lessons
that's it.
Learned.
You have to assume that or else you get in, you get yourself in that like weird predicament of whatever it is. You know, a lot of news items say on the waste issue. Joe, tell me if this qualifies or not.
Okay.
Am I allowed to have an idea within Erie County? How many fired corrections officers are applying for government jobs? Because I have right now the county personnel commissioner issuing a memo earlier this week saying that the county is following the state in preventing the hiring of corrections officers that were fired who didn't go back to work after the strike. Now I have another note passed off by the personnel commissioner saying that the measure's been paused, suspended, due to pending lawsuits that now the county might have to deal with if there's a lawsuit in this. I have legislators on both sides of the aisle taking up time during the meeting and then, of course, outside of it, spending their attention on whether or not this should be the case here. Of whether this strike was illegal, these people should be allowed to work in the county. Not once ever has it been mentioned. Have a single one of these people even expressed interest in a job?
Yeah, you would like to
know. If this impacts absolutely nobody, can we all just shut up about it?
Yeah, but I do think there's going to be people. Again, I don't know. This is just how I look at it, that, you know, they're looking for a job and there are county jobs, there are town jobs that fit the criteria of a former corrections officer.
Can we do all this when or if that happens? Because as of right now, from everything I know about this, we have the personnel commissioner, we're going to have county attorneys, we have county legislators, all focused in on an issue that impacts literally nobody.
To our knowledge.
To our knowledge, again.
Yeah.
And, all right, if somebody was fired, now they're applying for, okay, well, then now it becomes, but right now?
But that goes for putting the ban in place to begin with.
Sure. Do you think it was an unreasonable?
To ban these individuals who were just attempting to put some focus on the issues that go on every day at these facilities that now, by the way, National Guard's people who are working in there are experiencing some of these conditions.
Let me put it to you this way.
Okay.
You run a coffee shop and all of a sudden someone comes in looking for a job.
Okay.
They hand you their resume. Oh, see here. Oh, you have some experience working in coffee before. You were working at Starbucks, but ended abruptly there. What happened? Like, well, you know, we were forming a union and we were fighting back. We thought that the working condition was unsafe. And so we were kind of pushing back against the management. We staged a walkout in the middle of the shift and I didn't show up for work the next day. You know, they gave me an opportunity to come back, but I said, you know what? No. Absolutely not sticking with it. So I left. They said they don't want me back anymore. So now I'm coming over here looking for a job. What's your reaction going to be?
Well, there won't be a union here. Like, you're not going to form a union here.
It doesn't matter.
That would be my reaction.
Like, okay.
You make coffee here.
You scrap the word union from it.
Okay.
Doesn't matter.
I mean, I would probably want to know a little more. What were the conditions that you wanted Starbucks?
No, you wouldn't. Come on. Be real.
I'm hiring...
Okay.
In this climate, if I'm hiring in this climate where no one wants to work to begin with,
You wouldn't immediately look at that person and say, last job didn't end well. You're not going to be at the top of my list.
Yeah, that also is probably my bias against unions to begin with. So that's,
no, scrap the word. I'm sorry I brought up union because you worked for 3 days at a Jubilee once and had to give 30 cents to a union, and now you hate them forever for some reason.
You're damn right.
Scrap the word for it. Like, come on. Like, that is... I don't think that this is an unreasonable... Now, you're going down, you're saying, all right, or towns or villages or school districts, like, all right, hold on there. But I think it's, like, a perfectly reasonable... If you say, hey, the state hired you to do this job, you had 3 weeks of strikes, a majority of the workforce came back. You decided not to come back.
Okay.
After we made some concessions, we worked out a deal with your union. You stayed on strike, didn't come back. Okay, you're gone. And guess what? I don't want to hire you again.
The state, that is. Okay. Then the state can make that decision at the state level. The county was trying to make that decision for every town in the county. If the county wants to make that decision, fine. Don't tell Amherst what they have to do. That's where I disagree.
I agree with that. Yeah. But I'm talking about the state directive from the governor.
If that's the direction, I said this when it was put in place. If that's the direction the state wants to go, fine. But don't force towns to follow that, because there might be towns that say, yeah, we want you on our force.
No, I would agree with that. But the state directive. Do you agree with what Hochul said?
I don't agree with the directive. I agree that if the state wants to ban at the state level, that is the state's right. My only disagreement is don't tell towns what to do. That's been my feeling on the whole thing.
But does it make sense at an elementary level that Hochul would do that?
When you put your coffee example, yes, I get what you're saying.
Like, I just don't... why you would apply for a job.
You probably wouldn't apply for a state job after what happened.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that you would necessarily come running back to the same people you work for that weren't treating you well.
Yeah.
At the same time, if I'm the state, I don't think I'd be clamoring back for somebody who just walked off the job that I was paying them to do. So I think it kind of works both ways. At a state level, I think it kind of makes perfect sense. And in across all other business, if a similar situation happened, no matter what the industry, it would kind of be the same thing. Like if I walked out of here and didn't show up for my shift, and then went across town to whatever other radio company, they'd look at that and say, okay, I don't care that the heat didn't work and the bathroom smelled like the zoo. You didn't show up for work. And so, like, yeah, we don't have any interest in you.
Or jobs available.
Or there might be that.
No, but I might disagree with the... I mean, I also disagree... I don't want to get too much into the union thing, but I also disagree with the union not having the backs, but I understand law and all that.
Well, that's
a whole different...
That's for officers to take up with their union, I think.
Right, right.
That's a union problem, I think, separate from this issue. I would agree with you. If they don't have your back, that's a major problem with your representation.
I do think the union discussion is always interesting, though, because I've had it a few times, and our audience, split right down the middle. When it comes to unions, we are a half and half. That gets calls from both sides of the spectrum when I bring it up. And there are people who've worked in a union for 30 years and have the same feelings that I got in my 6 months.
You know what? You can't compare
across
industries.
I get it.
But isn't that...
Yeah.
Like, you can't compare one workers' union to the other. And I mean, it's just so... You could have people completely 100% in favor of a teacher's union. A teacher's union. Just who could be against that concept? But how politically involved they were, as evidenced in, the past, let's go, cycle back 4 years ago. You could be completely against that idea. That they're shaping policy based on patronage to who's relying on political support for this. So, yeah, I'm not surprised that you'd have 50-50.
Yeah, it's a very rational way to put it.
Yeah, I think that's what most people rational. The same way I agree with you. like on a town, village, school district level? Come on. You know, what are we doing here? And, you know, does that really mean the state's directive? You know, would it, if you had a lawyer go through that, would it necessarily impact every single person who works in a quote-unquote government job? I mean, would that extend to a private employer who has a government contract?
Say
you went to work security at a private employer, but they have a government contract, and you know how in-depth and filled with pages those can be about who can and can't work related to whatever project this is.
Yeah.
I mean, does that apply? I think that's a little ridiculous. On the statewide level, you know, just talking about the state of New York, like that's the, you know, stamp on the paycheck. I don't see much of an issue with it or understand the controversy, especially knowing that you're probably unlikely in the first place to go back. You know, in the Starbucks example,
yeah.
You know, it's like the person, you're probably not going to hop cross town to another Starbucks.
No. But, you know, I would give you points for admitting why you weren't able back to your old job.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you wouldn't have to. You'd probably find out eventually, though.
Yeah. I would, by the way, I hope this job works out for me. I'd be an awful hiring person. You have to call people. And then I have to, you know, base people based on their interview. I would not be a good hiring manager.
Well, the interview can be very deceiving.
Yeah.
There's people who are terrible at job interviews, but great at, you know, whatever the job would be, and vice versa.
Right. I've never interviewed for a job. I've gotten every job I've interviewed for except for one. I haven't interviewed for that many jobs.
I've been told I'm too blunt sometimes.
I think that's your charm, though.
Yeah. Depends on who you ask.
You know, Brian's not keeping anything.
You might, but you know, hey, it doesn't work for everyone.
I know one thing. Brian's not keeping anything from me.
Yeah. That would be true. All right. Oh, and someone on the text board, from a municipal employees would end up in the state pension system. So that would be the impetus for a statewide ban. Brings up something.
Well, that's a whole other way to look at it.
That's a decent point there. Even though if you're not working for the state, you're involved in the state in some way, unless you don't have to be. I don't know. I just, to me, to go back to the initial point, I think it's a lot of talk right now over what we know of zero people.
Right. Yeah.
We don't know. 2,000. How many are in Erie County? That's across the state.
Right.
How many people are living in Erie County?
No idea.
Of those people who are living in Erie County or in Western New York, how many people are looking for a job in Erie County? I don't know.
No.
But this is a lot of talk for something that could potentially impact nobody.
State pension one, that's a very interesting thing to look into.
Well, it raises up a good point. So, you know, technically not the state, but if the state doesn't want to pay you if you walked out, I see the point. You're not with me next week.
Next week or the following Monday.
Okay.
So.
That's sad.
I'm going to miss it.
We all will.
Yeah. I'll be in for Tom. Tom will be gone next week. So for the third year in a row, Tom is gone on opening day. So I will be here on opening day, including the entire week. And Brian will be
doing the play-by-play.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. No, of course not. It is funny, though. Trevor and I will be together as our teams play against each other. He is an Astros fan. I'm a Mets fan. And they'll be playing while we're on the air. So
they're playing on that's the opening day mashup?
Yeah.
Why?
Interleague. Opening day interleague. Come on. There's always an interleague matchup going on. The Mets just happen to be the interleague.
They're on opening day?
Yeah. I know.
Who came up with that?
Rob Manfred.
Ugh.
But that's what we'll look forward to next week. Brian, we also have Hardline and talking about the county, the corrections officers and the county directive that's being suspended. Gary Dixon in West Seneca was speaking out against that. He'll be joining me on Sunday, as well as Mickey Kearns and much, much more. So don't miss Hardline on Sunday at 10 a.m. And if you miss it at 10, guess what? You can catch it again at 6 p.m. I'll talk to you then. Brian will talk to you Monday. David will talk to you after the news with Lucas on WBEN.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events.
major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.